You're in the home 6010.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus. It is Wednesday, October 11th. Guys, we are talking our week 6 rankings today. This show is presented by Geico. Search Geico, see all the ways you can save. It is a great day to be here with Mike Clay and Field Yates. Guys, love doing shows with you. Excited, Mike, that you finally showed up on time for once.
Yeah, I'm here and I got the round of applause. So people are really happy I'm back. I think that was real.
I think it was legit clapping.
It was so loud.
Yeah. Our studio audience.
It was so loud that you could hear it right through the
So ears. I think really what that was, Mike, was that there were countless, to be honest with you, number of people that reached out to me and they were like, after Liz's performance on Monday, is there a chance that Mike Clay will never be back on the show?
Mm-hmm. So why are they cheering then?
Oh, well,
there are a few Mike Clay fans out there.
They're compassionate folks.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is.
They're compassionate folks. But
that seemed like a lot of things. Speaking of which, I did listen to the show on Monday.
Oh, okay.
I may have heard my name a couple times.
Yeah.
One specifically was you telling people to go to Twitter and tell them to trade me the good players because I crushed you by like only like 100 or so points in our
correct
in our dynasty.
The entire league by about 70, by 100.
It was a good week. And I got some comments.
Okay.
Some people said, you know, just feel bad for you and send you some good players.
Yeah.
But about half of the comments were like, no, shut him down. Keep crushing him. Don't give him anything.
Wow. And so what side did you choose?
I'm going to keep crushing him.
Wow. That's disgusting.
Come on, Mike.
Liz might be back next Monday again at this rate.
Good. I'll sleep in on Monday.
Wow.
I'll rest.
I'll tell
it's
you
not
what.
Like I'm not doing anything.
Because remind me again, it was the first, second, third, and seventh highest scorers in all of fantasy last week all facing off against me. Is that correct?
That's just not fair.
I think so. I think I texted you on Sunday. It was like,
you had Travis Etienne.
It was like four of the top six at
that
point or
something.
Yeah, I traded him to you. Etienne. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Thanks for
Daniel Jones. Oh,
who did I get back? Daniel Jones.
And Romeo Doubs.
Super flex league, by the way. Romeo Doubs has been actually a useful part for the first couple
At the
couple
time,
weeks.
Though, the feedback on that was like, I think the Jones side was fine. Like,
it was
pretty
league.
Even.
When you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback.
Yeah, this was last year too, wasn't it?
It was right before the season.
Right before this season started? Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Well, coming off of at least the Daniel Jones breakout season, in which he was, and he was a top 10 quarterback.
Hey, for the record, my other quarterbacks were Jordan Love.
Yeah.
But
Desmond Ritter.
But you're in a good spot right now.
CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud has started to look really nice, so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it's a good week, but it's all downhill from here.
You might lose the rest of your matches for the rest of the season.
Look, mission accomplished. It's like just one of them like moral victories. When I play, you're my Super Bowl every year.
That's what it is.
Okay. I have to take you down. I have to crush you. And then it's on to the, you know.
So what am I, like a preseason?
Who are you playing now?
Who
are you playing this week? Do you know?
I do not know. I'd have to look.
Good thing you're paying attention.
No, I'm not. I told you it's over now. I'm not going to check my team now. I took you out. That's all that matters.
That's the only thing that matters. Hey, shout out to our buddies over at Trophy Smack. Use the code FOCUSBELT to get 10% off if you want to get a super dope.
We need a belt.
Yeah, Mike was wondering. He was like, do I get a belt for that performance? I was like, dude, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
It is my Super Bowl. I won.
That's how it feels.
We need a trophy for that Dynasty League. We can retroactively add the winners and get one to pass around or something.
Yeah, I like that.
So then I can put it right in front of me all next year after I win this title.
Yeah. Don't love that.
I mean, you just said your season's over, so.
Yeah,
exactly.
You beat me.
I won the title. Beat Field. Mike Clay, beat Field.
It's the Colts who hang banners for like,
yes,
like less than stellar accomplishments, right?
Yeah, was that like last year the Colts beat the Chiefs? Remember?
Yeah,
was that last year, like
is that banner that says beat Chiefs week 17?
I can't remember where it started, but it was like the Colts. I want to say it was like they won their division. I could be way off here, but there was something that was like a very pedestrian accomplishment relative to hanging a banner for it. And it was like division champs. They went like 7-8-1 and then they lost by like 42 in the wild card round and they still hung a banner up there.
Yeah. People, I mean, as an Eagles fan, I see this stuff all the time, the memes, but it's like with the Cowboys made the playoffs again, made it in the first round again, like for the 12th year in a row.
For the record, if the Lions win the NFC North, I'm totally fine with them making a banner because it's been like 20 years since last time we did
because there are no banners there, right?
Different setup. We don't have a whole lot of banners.
Our first banner,
going
everyone.
Which is exciting. I didn't need any of that. All right, we're going to move on from Mike Clay. We're going to talk about some rankings here in week 6. We
got
some running back talk, breaking down some backfields. We got some panic at the wide receiver disco in case you were a Justin Jefferson manager. You got to figure out what you need to do there, as well as a couple other guys that have been underperforming and just some major rankings reaction talk. But we got to start, unfortunately, with some news. Adam Schefter tweeted this morning, Colts
Quarterback Anthony Richardson is now expected to miss the next 4 to 8 weeks, depending on his rehab and whether or not he would still need surgery on his right shoulder. By placing him on IR, the Colts are making sure that they are not going to have to rush him back. This is going to be a tough one, because if you didn't move on from Anthony Richardson or you have him, the only option that you have right now at this point, it feels like, is you're going to throw him in your IR spot and got to figure out who you're going to add to your roster. Because there's not a whole lot. It doesn't feel like you're going to have a lot of trade opportunity at this point. Feels like that window has sort of passed us
by.
Yeah,
we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show, just sort of what it means for the rest of that Colts offense. Go back and check that out. But now we know that Anthony Richardson is definitively going on IR, so you can safely move him there. If you're wondering whether you should drop Anthony Richardson or not, I think it definitely depends on who you have as your quarterback. I have like Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in a couple of leagues with Anthony Richardson. And my feeling is that I'm actually not going to drop Richardson unless I get into an IR crunch down the road for this reason. Not only does he have a lot of upside, but I don't want somebody else to all of a sudden get a major jolt to their lineup in like week 10, 11, 12 or something like that. And all of a sudden go from a good team to maybe the best team in the league. You can move him into that IR slot now, actually, because the Colts had said he was going to be out for this upcoming week. ESPN had him declared as out as of yesterday.
Okay.
So you could have moved him to IR to make your waiver claim last night. Matthew Stafford amongst the most notable week 6 streamers, but because there hasn't been a ton of quarterback breakthroughs this year, this might be another one where you're streaming things weeks or a week or two weeks at a time. To replace Anthony Richardson. Hold over.
Yep, I agree. I couldn't have said it better. See, you're a pro, man.
Don't you crush it on Monday. I listen to the show.
Yeah, you're doing good, man.
I regressed yesterday, so don't worry about it. It's a good job.
Wow. No, I agree with you. If you have an IR spot, just leave him there. Yeah. If it's a shallower bench or shallower league and there's decent quarterbacks out there, I have no major issue dropping him, but ideally you keep him on your bench.
Yep. All right, we're going to move ahead and talk about a couple of guys here for these running back breakdowns.
Let's do it.
Mike Clay.
Yes.
Austin Eckler said that he is 99%. Going to be available here for this week. The main question that we have for you sitting in this chair is how worried about recidivism are you?
What?
You know, recidivism for Austin Eckler. How worried about recidivism are you?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't. All right, so uneducated. We thought you had a little bit there.
But the recidivism is how quickly we think he might get re-injured based on a thing. It's a Stefania thing. Maybe you should start listening to some of those.
They don't teach that at Kutztown. They teach it at Princeton.
Don't worry.
Hey, you're starting Austin Eckler this week. We get Austin Eckler back. Let's just be excited about that.
Just ask that next time. Yes, we're gonna start Austin Eckler. That's my hot take. Start Austin Eckler in week number 6 and beyond. Yeah, had a huge week 1, of course. You know, we had this conversation. He was, you know, the McCaffrey versus Eckler debate, right? Yeah. We don't know the answer to that yet. McCaffrey's been awesome. It's probably him, but Eckler had 164 yards and a touchdown in week 1. I will say this, though. This is an interesting when I was looking at him last night. 5 or fewer targets in 6 straight games. Interesting.
Whoa. Yeah.
A little dip. Kind of aligns with when Keenan Allen came back last year. Now there's no Mike Williams, so I'm not too worried about it, but something to think about. He does have 8 touchdowns in those 6 games. So, yeah. But again, it's Austin Eckler. He's a superstar. You fire him up.
I'm actually just wondering why he didn't say I'm 100% playing.
Yeah,
on
what's
Monday.
The 1%?
What is the 1% that's holding him back from saying I am playing?
This is why he's the best. He gets it, right? Probabilities, right? And he could get hurt, you know, this week, or he could stub his toe, or something insane could happen. You never know. The power could go out in the stadium. There's many reasons, right? That's probability.
The power went out in the studio here yesterday. It was wild.
Dude, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was so fun. You probably didn't see it because the power went out. It was ridiculous. But
I did that. I was flipping switches.
How dare you?
After Monday's show.
You are a deviant. You know that?
Hey, let's talk about this Colts backfield, guys. I talked about him a little bit field on SportsCenter last night. The question is, what are you supposed to do if you've got Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor has come back now here in week 6, understanding that last week, we knew it was going to be a little bit of a pitch count, and Zach Moss still freaking delivered 33 fantasy points. So what are you doing here with this Colts backfield in week 6?
As I was reflecting on Monday's absolutely tremendous, like one of the best in the show history.
Incredible
efficient,
show.
Thoughtful, humorous fantastic. Show.
Yeah. Agreed.
Liz Loza.
What was different about that show?
Number 1 on the comedy charts after
really
the Monday
enjoyed it.
Show.
I was thinking about one of the debates that Liz and I had in which maybe we saw it the most different was the idea that it's going to be the Jonathan Taylor show, like sooner than later, right? You don't pay him $42 million to have him be the accessory or like the sidecar to Zach Moss. As great as Zach Moss has been, Jonathan Taylor was one of the best players in the NFL as recently as the 2021 season. The question, though, is how quickly does Zach Moss fade to the point that he is no longer useful at all in fantasy lineups, which in turn would coincide with Jonathan Taylor being an absolute lineup lock, a top 10 running back option every single week. So I have Jonathan Taylor at running back 20 right now. I have Zach Moss as running back 31 this week.
Ooh.
I know that that would that represents my estimation of Jonathan Taylor leading the team in running back snaps, running back touches, running back targets / receptions this week. I think things look a lot more like they did with Jonathan Taylor of old as soon as this week.
Yeah, I was watching the program and I heard you, and I actually kind of disagreed with both of you on that topic.
Oh, interesting.
For different parts of it,
though.
Tell
me why.
First of all, I agree with you 100%. You don't pay a guy that much money to be in a committee, right? Yeah, he's going to be the feature back. There's no doubt about it. By the way, a point on that. So Zach Moss this year, 4 games with 100 yards and a touchdown, right? Yeah. He's been outstanding. Check this out. During Taylor's big season, how many times do you think he did that? 100 yards and a touchdown.
So they played 17 games that year or 16?
He played in 17.
13?
8 times.
12, including 11 in a row. So it's an impressive feat, but we're talking about Jonathan Taylor here. Yeah. At his peak, he's obviously way better than Zach Moss, as much as I love Zach Moss. So I'm with you. There's no doubt about it. The only thing I disagree with you was you said just like hold tight on Moss. I would be absolutely trying to trade him. If there's people out there, if there's one person in your league who's buying in this and disagrees with us, that like Moss is going to be a factor and he's playing so good and he's a he's number two on a fantasy points per game basis, and you could take advantage and get an actual RB2 for the rest of the season, 100%. I would at least be trying. I would be out there seeing if I could pull that off.
Good call.
It takes one
when
person.
When I was saying hold tight, it was more relative to like don't drop him.
As of course. Yeah, I agree.
But that's a good call too. If you could get something out of Zach Moss, do that stuff right now.
Yeah. What is it that you think about him for this week? Because when I talk about this, Mike, he's had three of his 4 games. He's had 20 fantasy points as a fantasy manager emotionally. How do you not start a guy that's had 20 point games like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I was looking
because he's now a backup. That's
that's right. Yeah. So I was looking at closely at like the play by play of that game and how I think it was very clear Taylor was on a 10 snap pitch count. And I'll tell you why. He handled 5 of the first 12 carries. And then 1 of the final 17, he played exactly 10 snaps.
Okay.
So it was almost, they were almost splitting carries to open the game back and forth. And he hit 10 and that was it. He had one more, or he hit 8, whatever it was. They gave one more carry out of the final 17. Huh. So that tells me that going forward, if they expand that to say 30 snaps, then that distribution in the second half of the game is not that close. So I think we're going to see a lot more Jonathan Taylor this week. And I have him ranked 24th. I have Moss 29th. So both flex options. I understand what you're saying. Like if you've to put, if there's two teams on a bye, there's injuries, maybe you want to put Moss in your flex. I'm fine with it, but don't be surprised if there's a big drop back to earth here. Also, Jacksonville has been pretty good against running back so far. 2 decent games to Bijan and Pierce, but everyone else has been under 9 points. So this hasn't been a defense that's allowed teams to crush. And they did a great job against the Colts in week one.
Yeah.
Remember it was Deion Jackson, but it was still, they did a nice job against that O-line and shut down the run for sure. So
I feel like teams shouldn't be able to play each other in week one and week six.
This is the first.
It's too soon.
It is too soon. This is the first matchup between teams that are already played.
If you're going to play a team in week one, I think you should not be able to play them again until week 10, which would be the second half 10? Of the season.
Okay. Yeah. I'd say like at least week 8 or 9, something like that. But yeah, we're going to see this at the end of the year too. Or like I know
the Vikings
watching the Eagles
play like the Bears, like weeks 15 and 17. Oh, yeah, Lions. Yeah. Vikings, Lions?
Yeah.
Eagles Giants do that a lot. The Eagles Cowboys, I think last year played like two in a month or something.
Didn't
like
the Jets play someone back to back last year? They had like Dolphins by Dolphins or something.
Yes, they did. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's so weird.
Very important. I don't like fantasy talk here. Anyways,
I got Zach Moss also as a low end flex play if you need him this week. It's just tough to bench a guy that has looked so good, but to everyone else's point, there's a reason why you pay Jonathan Taylor all this money. Sooner or later, it is going to be his backfield. This might be the last opportunity you have to use Zach Moss as like a low-end flex play, because after he takes over this backfield, it's just going to be Jonathan Taylor.
What do you think? Like, what do you think? I guess getting inside the mind of Jim Irsay is probably like a little bit of like a crazy ask in and of itself. But like Sunday night, the head is finally going down to the pillow.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, big win, 3-2, atop the NFC South. Now it sucks that our quarterback got hurt, but we get this epic performance from Zach Moss. oh, wait, we paid Jonathan Taylor $42 million yesterday. And part of the reason why we had held our ground on the backs on the contract was that we thought that this is a position in which you can get replacement value at a much lower cost than basically any other position in the sport.
Mm-hmm. Guys, that
what's going through your mind right there?
That was a deal for the record. That's less than half an orca. So you know for a fact that Jim Irsay definitely made out on that one.
That
didn't that orca pass? Rest in peace. I'm pretty
sure
he's
that orca. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, this is like if Miami traded for like a star back.
Oh,
like now, like God, after they're, yeah, they're, it's like the same idea. You're right. It's almost played it perfectly in terms of not rewarding, you know, not paying the running back position. And then they did it anyway. And they're still getting elite production out of running backs without him. So it is incredible. But isn't it like we say this every year that fantasy is so weird and everything, and it's like, oh man, the craziest season yet. But like running back this year, we're like Zach Moss is second in fantasy points per game, Raheem Mostert's top five, and we're like flex options. Like normally they'd be lineup locks for sure. It's incredible. So
hey, speaking about that Miami Dolphins see what you did
Segway
there.
King.
Devon Achane obviously not going to be playing here this week. Field, I had asked you, if we don't get Devon Achane, where is that going to move Raheem Mostert to you within your week six rankings? I've got him inside my top 10. How about you?
I got him as RB14, so not that far behind. Okay. Mike has him at RB12, it looks like. So also not that far behind. Like your lineup locking Raheem Mostert once again. Raheem Mostert's dip in production in the past couple of weeks has nothing to do with Raheem Mostert. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with the fact that the Dolphins drafted an alien who only scores touchdowns of at least 70 yards, and that happens like every third time he touches the ball in Devon Achane. But I think that Mostert is comfortably the lead back for this week, should be seeing close to 60, 65, 70% of the snaps. My only question about the Dolphins backfield now is that whoever that number two running back is, whether it's Savon Ahmed or Jeff Wilson Jr., who sounds like he'll be designated to return to practice today, mm-hmm, how many fantasy points are they going to score in like the first quarter alone against the Panthers?
Yeah, would it shock either of us or any of us if Jeff Wilson steps in there and has 18 points in this game
not
and plays 55% of the snaps? No, wouldn't shock me at all. But I do agree. Mostert should be locked into lineups. He's been terrific. He still leads all running backs in touchdowns despite
seven rushing touchdowns already.
Eight total this year. Yeah. And keep this in mind, his snaps weeks 1, 2, and 3 were 74%. Yep. Then Achane came along and they dropped to 50. It could be back up to 70 this week. Very possible. If Jeff Wilson is kind of limited in his return. So, by the way, great matchup. They're playing Carolina. Third most yards, most touchdowns, second most fantasy points to running backs this season. So most are locked in the lineups. Wilson should be on benches. I'm not really worried about the other backs. I know there's some chatter about, like, could Ahmed be usable? I don't think so. Like, I think they've kind of shown their cards with him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a 1 week here if Wilson's not activated. But I wouldn't start him.
I feel the same way. I thought that Jeff Wilson Jr. was one of the priority ads on waivers last night.
Yep.
I don't know exactly where his percentage is now, but it was around 30% rostered going into waivers last night. I got him as RB30. Jeff Wilson Jr., that is, by the way. Assuming he does play, I wouldn't be surprised if he is activated as soon as today, as we just discussed, when the Dolphins take the practice field at some point this afternoon.
Jeff Wilson Jr. is still available in 55% of fantasy
leagues. That's gone up a lot, though. Okay. I mean, that's changed a lot. Yeah, you're so right. It was 25-30.
So, all right.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about the Titans. Mike Clay, my question. We've seen Derrick Henry be fantastic, but we've also seen Tajay Spears become a part of this offense. Do we have a committee right now in this Titans backfield?
In terms of snaps, absolutely, 100%. They've been doing this all season long. Spears has out-snapped him in 3 of the 5 games this year. But Henry is still, like, he's not what he was in the past. He's not like a top five fantasy running back, but he's still a starter.
Yeah.
You know, he's third in or fifth in carries, 31st in targets, but that adds up to 7th in touches. He's a couple touchdowns. But the thing here is I saw like Spears kind of led waiver wire content this
week.
Made
no sense to me.
I don't understand it either. Yeah. I mean, he's still an insurance back, right? He needs an injury to Henry to be a fantasy starter. He had 16.9 points last week. That is
first time
a career best. He scored his first touchdown. He only had 11 touches. He was in the 8 to 10 range the prior 3 games. He has a few more targets than Henry this year, but he's getting crushed in the carry department. 86 to 27. This is not a guy that is a viable fantasy starter yet. He's still an elite insurance back. That's what he is.
I do believe those week 6 projections that you're seeing on the screen right now for those watching on YouTube are Derrick Henry's and not Tajay Spears.
Yes, correct? That is probably right. Yes.
Yeah. So, I would say so. You don't know the projections of your own players?
I thought I had him at 82 yards, but I guess it's 83. Okay.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. How dare you?
But oh, I completely agree. I mean, it was his first double-digit fantasy point game this past weekend. I get it. It's as somebody who used to write the waiver wire column for ESPN, it's like you get to week 7 or 8, and absent a major injury.
Did I just throw Eric under the bus? I wasn't even. That was just a general comment.
I don't even know if Eric had him on the call.
Oh, I don't know either.
And Moody's great at what he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, you know, it's so hard to find names by the middle of the season unless there are injuries. Like, I remember it was like every week it was like, yeah, so let's get Mohamed Sanu from 41 to 42 this week, from 42 to 43, 43 to 47. Oh, he's finally jumped over 50% roster. So, I'm with you on Tajay Spears, like just an insurance policy and little more than that, even if Derrick Henry's value in fantasy has dropped quite precipitously this year.
I think part of the reason why it's dropped is because of the fact that Tajay Spears getting all those targets that we saw last year that we were excited about, finally added a passing game element to Derrick Henry's game, and now it's not there this year because of Tajay Spears. And
I think Henry is still like 11th at running back in receiving yards, so he's still good at it. He's just not on the field and getting as much volume.
He may be 11th in receiving yards. He's first at running back in terms of quarterback play.
Yeah.
He's awesome at throwing the football.
Fair. Oh, absolutely. Yes. RB1.
They tried again last week. They nearly had a DeAndre Hopkins touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think he's like 7 for 9 with 5 touchdowns in his career. He is the running quarterback. Hold on. Let me see if I can do this.
Derrick Henry of throwing running quarterback.
No, I got this. You ready? Right. Derrick Henry is the quarterback amongst running backs what his head coach Mike Vrabel was to tight ends amongst defensive
Good
players.
Call.
Got it.
Yeah. He was great, right? Does he have a perfect record in throwing the ball, Vrabel?
Derrick Henry?
No, Henry? I thought Vrabel did.
Vrabel was like 12 end. Catches for 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's incredible.
And not only that, go back and watch these. If you want to spend 5 minutes on YouTube watching something cool, Mike Vrabel was not catching like wide open, like the defense just bit on a play fake and they thought it was selling out hard for the run. He's like catching fades. He's like making one, like in the freaking Super Bowl, by the way. Uh-huh. He was a stud athlete.
Maybe we need off-season pod, like talking about the best non-quarterbacks at throwing, like Jacoby Myers, like really good at that.
You know?
What?
Is Jacoby Myers going to throw?
Oh, okay. I was like misinterpreting that.
Non-quarterbacks.
Sorry, I thought you were making a reference to Jacoby Myers last year throwing the ball backwards.
Oh, no. He's good.
He was a quarterback. I think he got recruited to play quarterback at NC State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, I was absolutely not. I love Myers. He's awesome. We're going to have to talk about him at some point.
Yeah, he's been great.
Crushing it this year.
All right. Myers is a wide receiver. That's going to be our tangent to be able to get us into this wide receiver conversation. We're talking panic at the wide receiver disco. We're going to have a quick revisitation. Is that how you say it?
Revisit.
Is that a word?
Recidivism,
We're going to come back and talk about this Justin Jefferson conversation one more time because it was so big yesterday and Mike, you didn't get a chance to be able to weigh in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to be without Justin Jefferson for at least 4 weeks here, Mike Clay. And there's a lot of up and down, a lot of uncertainty surrounding this. So when you see this, how are you breaking down this Vikings pass catchers and how you feel about Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, a couple things here. So first of all, what do we want to start with? The team, or do we want to talk about like the Jefferson?
Start with Jefferson real quick and then we'll move on to the team.
Okay, so like the trade market, what we're doing here, how we're handling Justin Jefferson.
Do that afterwards.
Yeah, because that was what I wanted to revisit because I felt like yesterday we were so fixated on the KJ Osborne / Jordan Addison side of it.
Yeah, and I think that part of it's pretty straightforward. We feel better about starting Jordan Addison. He already has 3 touchdowns. It's your guy this year. He should see more volume. I think he had 9 targets last week, and KJ Osborne was right behind. He has not been usable in fantasy so far for the most part, but he's running more routes, and those two are going to be full-timers. The routes after Jefferson went out were Addison and Osborne were every down players, and actually Brandon Powell was right behind. This is a high volume pass offense, so like a 16 team deep sleeper there is Brandon Powell, but otherwise those two guys should be in lineups as flex options, maybe into the wide receiver 2 conversation, which is where you guys have them. You're a little higher than me on Addison. Good matchup this week, by the way, against Chicago. So I think it's pretty straightforward with how to handle the Vikings passing game.
Field, you mentioned this yesterday, something that a lot of people might not know, but KJ Osborne, part of the all routes run team, has run the 5th most routes in the NFL. So he has been out there on the field contributing a ton.
Yeah, me, the known analytics / like stats guy on the podcast, brought that to the show yesterday. Jefferson was 6th. I don't know if Mike knew that or not, but in part because he missed about half the game last week. Okay, so we all see it the same way on these next 2 wide receivers up, although I did see Daniel and Mike have a fairly large discrepancy on Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
19 for Daniel, 32 for Mike. Why do you hate a good rookie?
Yeah, I think I was going to bring this up a later, like Devontae Smith, right?
Okay,
when I was ranking, ranking receivers this week, I'm just like, that area there from like, say, 18 to 35, mm-hmm. you're like, you could be in either spot. You have the guy in 18, 35. I mean, that is a wide-ranging group, and that's why like someone like Devontae Smith is down a little right now, and you can rank him 32nd and be like, that makes sense, because there's a whole group of guys ahead of him who are like, they're really good, they're doing great, like Nico Collins, and you know, there's a lot of guys. Mike Evans is up to like the top 20, and there's just so Godwin, you go on and on with all this talent. Olave,
super deep going position. There's
Michael Thomas is doing well, he's up into that car, like it's just so deep right now. So I think that's the separation here, is Addison isn't really a proven commodity in terms of a high volume producer. But again, I think he should be in lineups. I'm still at 32. I'm going to place him as a flex option or a fringe wide receiver 3 for now.
I think I'm projecting that Jordan Addison, as the projector here at ESPN, the guy that does the projections, I'm projecting that Jordan Addison is going to have a big game here because of the fact that there's no Justin Jefferson. But at the same time, I understand everything that you're saying. We haven't seen it yet. A part of this is like thinking that this is going to transpire with how much Kirk Cousins throws the stinking football. And you've got one guy that does not. Now you've got at least 12 targets that are going to go to somebody else in that offense. So as a part of that, though, Field, we had a big conversation about what you would do with Justin Jefferson if you were his manager now. Yep. I want you to just dive into that from some trade conversation.
So a lot of people were asking yesterday, not like, hey, what do you do with Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne? What do you do with Justin Jefferson?
Right.
And here's what I think it comes down to. So there's a little bit of nuance involved here, right? Like if you're 5-0 or 4-1 and you have Justin Jefferson, the likelihood is you have pretty good depth that has also helped you get off to this red hot start, and you might be fine. Like you might have drafted a Jacoby Myers as an example, Pickens,
you picked up Nakua.
You've got one of those players that has helped catalyze your really strong start. If you're worse than that, 3-2, 2-3, 1-4, 0-5, you absolutely immediately should be looking to trade Justin Jefferson. Like you got to find a way to save your season. And honestly, even if you're 4-1 or 5-0, it's not unfathomable to try and trade Justin Jefferson. And so if you're going to move off of Justin Jefferson, I think people are saying to themselves, like, what should I be expecting in return? Because of the fact that as of right now, this moment, there is a chance that Jefferson is back in week 10. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's a definitive possibility, but there is a chance you could be selling that reality to the person who is looking to trade with you. I'd be looking for multiple starters in return for Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like, not like guys that like are passable starters. I mean like legitimate starters that you are not thinking twice about putting in your lineup every single week. And I'd be open to it. I really would. Because I think if you're trading him away, you're banking on the possibility that while he could theoretically return in week 10, this could also easily be 11, 12, 13. Their bye week is in 13.
Or
maybe not at all.
Yes.
I mean, Shefty put out that tweet yesterday that's going to scare me as a Justin Jefferson manager until he actually returns to the field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. Non-zero chance Cousins is traded.
Non-zero.
It's possible. I mean, they have one win. If they keep losing, now they lost Jefferson. If they keep losing, it could happen. They might want
to
get some.
If they lose to the Bears this weekend, which with the way Chicago's played on offense the past couple of weeks makes things like it seemed possible, right?
Yeah.
Bears then, coming off of 10 days of rest because they played on Thursday. 1-5. And like now the games that on paper you're supposed to win, you're not winning. Anything is possible.
Yeah. There. And then what happens if he comes back and who's the quarterback at that point? You know, it might not be great. The production, they might just run out the clock on the season. And again, he may not return. That's a real possibility here, especially if he has some sort of setback. So I agree. I actually, just looking at it from a numbers perspective, I took him out for 5 games. Okay. I think there's added risk that he misses more than 4 games. We've already heard that speculation. That moves him down to 32nd most projected points at receiver going forward. But you're not taking a zero when he's out. You're adding a replacement level player back. If you do that, he jumps back up to wide receiver 10 in value going forward. So I agree with you. I think you're right on the money. I mean, that's where guys like Amon-Ra, Waddle, Nakua, Debo, Ayuk in that sort of range. Look, when Jefferson plays, obviously those guys are well behind him. But if you're looking to make a trade, a one-for-one trade, I think that's kind of the tier you should be trying for first.
So I had someone I was talking through yesterday. I said, like, if you get Mike Evans in return for Justin Jefferson right now, Like, that's a reasonable offer to make.
I agree.
Reasonable. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously Evans has to continue to get good quarterback play for the rest of the year, but a player with his pedigree and the start that he's had so far, not a bad return for Jefferson. He's going to miss at least the next 4 weeks.
And to your point, if you're 500 or below, no brainer. If you are 5-0, 4-1, then you could definitely just hold tight on Jefferson, because again, you're playing for first place here. You want to win the league.
Yep.
You know, if you're 1-4 right now, your odds of doing that without Evans and having Jefferson are pretty slim. But again, if you're 5-0 and you're sitting on Jefferson, you're in a much better spot.
Hey, I'll add this. And obviously a lot of our audience and a lot of ESPN's consumer base is playing in 10 team leagues or even 18 leagues. But the deeper you get, the more likely you should be trading Justin Jefferson. In our veterans league, I have Justin Jefferson, my first round pick. And I let the league know. I said, hey, not only is Justin Jefferson available, Patrick Mahomes as well, my quarterback. I said, just because I need to diversify I need to reshape my team on the fly. And I had J.K. Dobbins, who's already out for the year. So injuries have kind of caught up to me by week six. And I'm saying to the guys, I might facelift my entire team over the next 2 weeks, but I don't think I can win with my current roster construction. So ante up. And in a league that deep, you can't afford to lose 3 or 4 straight games. No. So anyways, I think it's a thoughtful conversation on Justin Jefferson. Is there any scenario that you would be trying, like, are you trying to trade for Justin Jefferson?
I think only, like Mike said, if I was 4-1 or 5-0 and I've got a banger of a team already, I know otherwise, I can grab him throwing my iron. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to try and make that move because of the uncertainty once he potentially comes back, if he comes back. If it was just like, hey, he's going to miss 4 games and this team is going to be deep in the playoff hunt, so you know when he comes back, he's going to be right there in the action, it'd be a different conversation. But because of the uncertainty, I think I have to have a very good team in order to want to trade for Justin
Jefferson. Also, this is one of like, for those in dynasty leagues, this is like your only chance.
Yes.
You want to buy a dip on Jefferson, this is your only chance to do it. Not only is he going to be back healthy eventually, he's going to get a new contract, he's going to be sitting pretty long term. This is, again, you don't get many opportunities like this.
Yeah. Last IR thought, Dawn Achane headed to IR as well for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Shefty just tweeted that a few minutes ago. So we knew that was a possibility yesterday. Okay. Now it is confirmed. Keep in mind that the Dolphins have 4 games he's going to have to miss, plus their bye week in week 10. So the earliest that Dawn Achane can return is now week 11. I can't wait to see how this backfield unfolds without him, because, again, if this first 5 week sample size has taught us anything, like, Jeff Wilson could prove to be an insanely valuable waiver wire pickup.
Exactly what I was just going to say. And keep in mind, when he was acquired last year, he was immediately ahead of Mostert. Now it was like 51-49.
Yeah.
But they gave him a big role. They like him a lot, and he's going to play a big role in an offense that's been really generous to running backs. It's not just Achane. Like, you put Achane on other teams, he's not going to be nearly as good as he's been.
I've been
in this Miami offense.
On my IR spot in a 16 team league, where depth is obviously hard to find. Yep. And I've, like, every week I'm like, dang, do I remove him for somebody that gets ruled inactive? Because, you know, that's just one extra spot you can fill. And we'll see what he becomes. But again, with that offense, I would take my chances on anybody that gets playing time there.
If you have to pick between, say you have one IR spot, you could put Richardson or Richardson or Achane.
Achane,
for Achane. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yep.
That's where I got to be.
He's a priority. Yep.
All right, let's finish out this, or actually let's start this. Panic at the wide receiver disco all conversation, right, guys. We got a couple of wide receivers that have been underperforming here. Mike, I'm going to start with Chris Olave. Looked fantastic through the first 3 weeks. Double-digit targets through the first 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then single-digit fantasy outputs here in week 4 and week 5. It has been frustrating for fantasy managers. How are you looking at Chris Olave here in week 6?
Yeah, so I'm outside my top 20. First time this year. A little concerned. Part of it is the fact that he has 11 targets in his last 2 games after having 11 each weeks 1, 2, and 3. Hopefully this means he's going to go off, because I do view him as a buy low, because he's been... the volume's been better than the production so far, and that shows up in expected touchdowns. He's 8th at receiver in that department, 2.8. He's 5th in end zone targets, or he's 5. He's 6th place at receiver, but only has 1 touchdown, so he's been really unlucky. That being said, they are playing the vaunted, intimidating Houston Texans
secondary
pass defense, who now for the second year in a row are shutting down this position. 4th fewest fantasy points allowed, 1 touchdown. No receivers have reached 18 fantasy points against them through five games.
Nuts.
They just like last year.
No Derek Stingley on the field.
No Stingley. They've been out their slot. Tavier Thomas has been out.
It's crazy.
Missing Shaq Griffin last week.
Yep.
It's just, I guess it's schematic, but also it's a new coaching staff this year.
Totally.
They just continue to get the job done. So outside my top 20, but in terms of full season, like going forward, should you panic a ton? I don't think so. I think going forward, he'll be fine. He'll bounce back. I would try to acquire him.
I've got him at 2 out of 5 Brussels sprouts. That's my panic meter.
Oh, man, I forgot. All right, 2 out of 5. Are Brussels sprouts bad, though?
Me, they are. I'm not a Brussels sprouts fan.
Daniel Al Michaels of the Fantasy Focus. For those that haven't, this has bubbled up again recently. Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable in his life.
I eat some vegetables, but I don't like Brussels sprouts.
I didn't realize that was a thing until the last couple of years. Like Damien.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like, Damien, the browser. Yeah, like we have just like
that's
people.
That's why him and I are best friends because we don't eat vegetables together.
You, obviously. yeah, like I didn't even know that was a thing until like you and Damien, and now I just hear about it all the time.
I eat some vegetables, guys, for what it's worth. Like Rosie has made me start to eat certain vegetables. I eat cucumbers now.
Okay, that's a good one.
I eat peppers, like green peppers, red peppers, all those things. So I've started doing that.
What's like your absolute, is Brussels sprouts the absolute worst?
Brussels sprouts, asparagus, broccoli, and cauliflower are the worst.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think I grew up in an era where the cauliflower and broccoli often were boiled in my house. And and it's just like the smell of it really.
Throwing Mama Dop under the bus.
Yeah, you are Mama Dop. Yeah, that's actually what happened.
When do you get an air fryer? That makes everything better.
I got, guys, come on. Yeah. No.
You deserve that. All right,
All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson field has been very frustrating as well for fantasy managers, but there is one thing that I am really excited about. It is the major issues that this Philadelphia secondary is having. If there is a chance for Garrett Wilson to get on track, this is a matchup. In spite of the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles have like a really good defense, they're just giving away points to wide receivers.
Yeah, they face the third
runs
most
against them.
Exactly. Their
and
people are just throwing
all the time.
They face the most wide receiver targets.
Jalen Carter.
It's absurd.
And you know what's incredible about him is he's playing like a third of the snaps.
I know it's ridiculous.
it's just crushing
absurd.
It.
Anyways, here's my hugest concern about Garrett Wilson going forward is that I really do. Yes. Like the upside is still not there. Yeah. Like he has no 100 yard receiving game this season. He has 60 or fewer in 4 of his 5 games. Do we think that's likely to change with this quarterback and this offense?
Sadly, no. It didn't happen against Denver.
It's not going to happen. Like, in a great matchup, it didn't happen. So that my panic, I actually like Brussels sprouts, so I don't know what I'm supposed to use. Olives. I hate olives.
Olives. There you go.
Olives, okay.
Black olives or green olives? Are they all the same?
I hate them all. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. 4 out of 5 olives here.
That's where I would be. I was going to be at 4 or 5.5 out of 5.
And not to the point that I'm not starting him, but like for scraping for that upside that made him the chalkiest breakout player in all of fantasy football this year.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just still praying for that deal for Kirk Cousins or something. Okay. I don't think Tannehill's going to happen now. Tennessee's contending, but maybe we get Kirk Cousins there. I'm with you. The volume's been huge. Target shares up from last year. 46% of their air yards.
Yeah.
46%. That's a huge number, but he still hasn't gotten to 17 fantasy points in a game. And again, Eagles have faced the most wide receiver targets this year. Their efficiency has been pretty good and one of the lowest yards per targets, but teams just are throwing it a ton at them. So
that's because they don't run the ball and they're behind a bunch, correct? Yeah. Like that's what it's just game script a lot of times.
Yeah. So we have him as in the mid teens, we do Garrett Wilson this week, and that's because of that volume. He might see 9-10 targets in this game, and that's really the key in this one.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, though. All right, let's talk about CeeDee Lamb, because this one has also been really frustrating. If you've been a CeeDee Lamb manager, you've been expecting a guy that is going to deliver you nice high-end wide receiver to low-end wide receiver one value. It hasn't really felt that way with the way the Cowboys have started out.
How come the Cowboys haven't played a single normal game this season?
That's my point. That's where I was going with this.
So week one,
so many defensive points.
Rain and they get all the defensive touchdowns. I can't remember whatever week they played the Patriots, their defense scored multiple touchdowns as well. And then this past week, they got their butts kicked.
Yeah.
Butts kicked by San Francisco, obviously. The Arizona game was weird. They played a single normal game. So, yeah, I mean, it's super disconcerting. I would say the offense, even though they haven't played as many snaps as it feels like a normal offense would through 5 games, like they have yet to find their mojo and their rhythm. They play the Chargers, though, on Monday night. So I think Monday will be a good reflection of where this offense actually is because the Chargers have struggled so immensely this season. I'm going to go with 2.5 olives for CeeDee Lamb.
Interesting. To your point, 7 or fewer targets is 4 out of the 5 games. Yeah. Volume is down from last year, about 2 targets per game. But check this out. 23% target share in the first 3 quarters this year, 13% in the fourth quarter. because of the blowouts.
They're just running. Oh, they're just
because
running
of
the
blowouts. Yeah. All every game they played have been decided by 12 plus points. The average score difference in their games this year, wins and losses, is 27.8.
Bizarre.
Oh, that is random. Someone made a point the other day on social, maybe worth looking up. Is this the widest gap ever through five games?
Probably.
Between score, and it probably is.
The numbers guy in this podcast, I will look that up.
I would say so. It's incredible. So I do think better days ahead. I think he'll be targeted more and more competitive games, but it is good matchup against the Chargers here. I'm low on that. I would say, what did you say? What's your
2.5 olives?
I'd say two olives. I'm not a big olive fan.
Mike has normal taste in vegetables.
That's right.
Here's a quick question for you guys. Who scored more fantasy points so far this year? CeeDee Lamb or the Dallas Cowboys defense?
Oh, the defense. Definitely the defense.
All right, it's the Dallas Cowboys defense. Good for you guys.
By the way, how about Brandon Cooks with 9 catches through 4 games?
Stop it. Stop.
Ugh.
That's gross.
He's a good football player.
Is he droppable?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Yeah, very disappointing. I don't think he'll get traded because of the deal he signed, right? But
He'll get traded in like another 16 months. It just happens like every like 20 to 24 months. So
Who scored more fantasy points? Sam LaPorta or the Dallas Cowboys defense?
Oh, I don't actually know. Dallas
defense by like 0.3 fantasy points.
Wow. Dude, okay. Dallas's defense is unreal. They've scored 72 fantasy points.
They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Through 5 weeks of the season. That is one of an unreal stat and part of the reason we're talking about.
And that includes this past week where they got smashed by the Niners.
By the Niners, yeah. All right, we got one more guy we want to talk about. Mike, earmuffs on this one. Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
This one has been really frustrating here. Gets the New York Jets this week. Yeah. We talked about this because the first couple of weeks he got in the end zone. I think weeks 1 and 2 got in the end zone. And then we had that conversation. AJ Brown is not getting the target volume that he wants. We thought there was going to be a squeaky wheel situation. Well, now we need to have a second squeaky wheel on the other side of that because it feels like Devonta Smith is just not a part of this wide receiving core the way that he was. It's been all AJ Brown.
Wait, Devonta Smith, can you imagine him like getting upset and speaking his mind? Devontae Smith is like the quietest human on the planet. He'd be like, yeah, I want the ball more. It'd be cool. I'd get the ball more.
Jalen, really could you please just pass it just a little bit? Yeah, the
ball. He makes Bill Belichick sound excitable. He's the Slim Reaper for a reason. He's unbelievable.
We need to ask him. We need to get someone to ask him if he wants more targets so he could be like, we're on to New York.
This one feels like a trap. To me, this is trap ranking because like it's all you need is one
we're too
game.
Low.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I agree. Also, he has been fine, I think, because you look at like two of the last three have been duds, but 14.8 plus fantasy points in 3 of his 5 games, right? So he started off fine. He had some down games last year as well. The reason we have him on the bottom end of this tier I just talked about this week is because they're playing the Jets. He's going to run almost all of his routes against Sauce Gardner, and most likely DJ Reed. He was in the concussion protocol last week, missed that game. I suspect he'll be back. He's a perimeter guy. He's going to run a lot of his routes against him. So yep. I am lower this week, but I do think he'll get back on track. So I would say 1 out of 5 sausages.
Well, you don't like sausages?
I love meat. I do not like sausage.
Wait, what? Really?
I have a big problem with sausage.
Is it?
We got to get you some Eckert sausage. That's why.
I guess so.
That might be what it is. Is it the kind where it's just like stuffed meat in a casing, or is it hot
just
dogs?
Just people eat sausage and sausage sandwiches.
I love sausage.
Cut up sausage. I do not like it. I do not like the taste.
Okay.
Yeah. I like all kinds of steaks and chickens and everything. Do not like.
I'll bet you we can find a sausage that you like.
Let's do a taste test right here on the show.
Let's go to Fenway Park next baseball season. Get you not a Fenway Frank, get a sausage from right outside the stadium. Or let's go to Lambeau Field. I still have to check that off my bucket
list. I've never been there either. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I've not been there.
All right, we got a little bit more rankings reaction coming up in just a minute. But first, Field Yates, let's pay some bills here.
Let's
real quick.
Do that, Daniel. I was thinking about, by the way, the fact that the NFC Championship game won't be at Lambeau Field this year, but will be at Ford Field this year.
That's right.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Yep.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Hey, college football fans and Mike Clay. I'm going to let you in on a little secret that'll help you win game days this season.
Ekrich smoked sausage.
Thank you. Oh, see, I need some of that.
You're probably asking yourself, Mike Clay, could it really be that easy? Absolutely it is. We all love sausage here.
See, I haven't tried that yet. That's probably why I don't like sausage. I need the good sausage.
The good stuff. Ekrich smoked sausage is crafted with a perfect medley of spices for a truly rich and savory taste. They're delicious all by themselves, Mike, or in any recipe that you can dream up. And if the word recipe sounds like a lot, don't worry. You can visit Ekrich.com for dozens of simple mouthwatering recipes, making your tailgating prep a stress-free event. So there you go. Ekrich smoked sausage. It is the secret to winning game days. You can thank me later. Visit Ekrich.com for more.
Do you think they'll send me like a care package now?
Well, they're either going to send you a care package or they're going to put a different kind of package on your front doorstep. Yeah. So it's going to be one of those two things.
I did not, full discretion, I did not know that read was coming at
all.
Nor did
I when I mentioned it like 2 minutes ago.
It was a complete coincidence, but that's hilarious. So I have not had that sausage yet, though, so I need to try it now.
We got to get some and give it a shot. All right, let's dive into a little bit more rankings talk here, guys. We each gave a couple of names that we wanted to talk about coming into the show. Mm-hmm. Which one of you had Brock Purdy?
Not me.
That must have been me then, by process of elimination.
Yes. Let's talk about Brock Purdy then. Why do you have Brock Purdy ranked wherever you have him ranked this week, Mike, which is quarterback 16.
Okay, well, is that low? Where are you guys at?
That's low. I'm 15, but
I'm at 17.
I think people would probably contend that's lower than he deserves to be based off of recent performance.
Yeah.
But, Mike...
Yeah,
his matchup is tough.
That's it too. I'll work from there and go backward because he is sixth on a points per game basis this year. He's been terrific.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Cleveland on a per game basis, fewest pass yards, second fewest passing touchdowns, and fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've been outstanding this year. This is a tough trip for San Francisco going into Cleveland to play against the Browns. I think it might be a bit of a step back here. Another part of it is he's not going to get anything in terms of rushing yards. Now, he does have two rushing touchdowns, which is interesting, but only 24 yards on the ground this season. Where do you think Brock Purdy is in pass attempts this season? Where do you think he ranks among quarterbacks?
22nd.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Close. 27th.
What?
27th in pass attempts. Just not a lot of volume, and that's going to limit his upside. He is 8th in yards and 7th in passing touchdowns. But again, not quite aligning with where he is in terms of fantasy points this season. In fact, he was 6th last week. That's probably his ceiling. That's his only finish better than 9th. So this is a fringe QB1.
Yep.
And you're going to like him a little more in good matchups, and you're going to like him a little less in tough matchups. This is most likely going to be a tough matchup. I'm super intrigued by this matchup. I can't wait to see how this offense does against a defense that has played well and needs a win, is at home. I don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to play, but I cannot wait to see the Niners offense against the Browns defense.
That was one of the questions that I had, is if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, does that change anything that the 49ers do? Because it seems like they would be, the Browns would just be so outmatched with DTR under center. And I'm really excited about that
good.
Kid, but it doesn't think
it wasn't good last time around.
Yeah, reports are he won't play too, right? PJ Walker is the report is that PJ Walker would get the start.
If no Deshaun, it would be
if no Deshaun.
That makes sense. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Based on that makes sense. Yeah. All right. I brought Gabe Davis to the table, guys, and it's because you guys hate Gabe Davis, and I'm living where I think all the fans are living right now.
Tell me more about Gabe Davis.
I've got him at wide receiver 30. That's all he does. You guys have him outside the top 40 right now. Here's the thing.
Okay.
As a fantasy manager, I've watched him score a touchdown in 4 straight games. Mm-hmm. We know that is not sustainable. It's not a thing that you can just do week in and week out.
Yeah, exactly.
But this week they get the New York Giants.
Yeah, totally.
The New York
Giants
is a matchup that you can absolutely potentially take advantage of here. I am all in on Gabe Davis. There's no way this guy has scored 4 touchdowns in 4 straight weeks after putting up what was another really nice week last week. 6 receptions, over 100 yards, and a touchdown again. I'm going to keep living in this Gabe Davis. He is a low-end flex play for me. I think this is someone I want to have in my fantasy lineup. But you guys don't like it. You're not buying this.
I like a board bet on this is what I like.
Ooh, okay. Can I say my piece on this first?
Then we'll do that. I'll do the board bet part. I get the easy stuff.
Yeah. All right. So last year, 36 on a points per game basis. He averaged 6.2 targets per game.
Okay.
He's at 5.2 this year.
So that's less.
Full target per game. That's not great. He's 48th in targets.
Okay.
That's not great either. Something I want to see. 19th in expected touchdowns. So he's kind of doubled up his expected. That's going to regress to the mean.
Sure.
And also, to your point on the Giants, I think they're going to be, first of all, they're like mid-pack to receivers so far. They've had a bunch of touchdowns, otherwise mid-pack. I think they're going to be feistier against perimeter receivers because Adoree Jackson was playing the slot. They moved him back outside. I think he'll shadow Stephon Diggs in this game, but also they have Deontay Banks on the other side, has missed some time, but when he's out there, he's been fine. There's certainly, we'd expect him to improve going forward. I think he'll be on Gabe Davis in this game. So I think they're going to be a little feistier than maybe we think against wide receivers going forward. So there's a couple things there, but I'm at 42, deep league flex option. but you're counting on that touchdown because the volume is not there.
If I get a touchdown, I win this one.
Two compelling arguments right here. So let's go ahead and make this one a board bet. 30 to 42, that's 12 spots. We'll cut it right down the middle. Wide receiver 36, and we'll find out who wins the very much anticipated week 6 board bet. You want to say it?
I'm ready for
it. All right, so who's in it? Who's all in it?
I'm on your side, Mike. Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
So I think Gabe Davis will be a top 36 wide receiver here in week 6.
I think Gabe Davis will not be a top 36 wide scoring receiver this week.
What?
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
It's terrible.
Honestly, our execution gets worse over time.
That was bad. I think, was that my fault? I don't know.
I think it was your fault.
No,
yeah.
No blame game to be put around here. I'll talk about Adam Thielen next. Right, how about that?
Dude, Adam Thielen's been so good. You've got to put Adam Thielen in your lineup.
Is this like 2018 right now?
Feels like
he's my wide receiver 10 for the week.
Yeah.
And over the past 4 weeks, Adam Thielen has the second most catches in the NFL.
Oh my gosh.
The third most fantasy points amongst wide receivers. He's the only player that Bryce Young seems to trust.
Yeah.
He is a target hog right now. They're 0-5. They're literally the only team in the NFL that has not won a game this season. They rarely play with the lead. It feels, at least. I mean, they're always playing from behind at some point during the game. So game script should be in his favor. Who do they play this weekend again?
They play the Dolphins.
Probably be playing from behind.
Right? Again.
Yeah, they will.
So just like keep piling up the targets, old man Thielen.
Yeah, his receiving lines are like elite receiving
lines.
Hilarious. 7 for 54 and a touchdown, 11 for 145 and a touch, 7 for 76, and then 11 for 107 and a touchdown.
Oh my gosh. Absurd.
That's like top 5 receiver production, and that's where he has been lately. He's top 24 straight weeks, 4th in catches, 2nd in routes. He's been crushing it. By the way, Dolphins, they allowed that huge game to Josh Allen. Otherwise, they've been pretty good against receivers. Yeah. I will say that, but still, Thielen, lineup lock in our top 12 for sure.
All right.
Other side of this one, in terms of like excitement, Ramondre Stevenson. I miss you, man. I miss the good version of you. As a matter of fact, I have you as running back 24 this week, and that might be way too high.
Yeah, I don't feel good about my running back 20.
Ramondre Stevenson has been brutal. So, I mean, the Patriots offense has been brutal in general, especially these past few weeks. Mm-hmm. How about this, though? Ramondre Stevenson. Amongst the players with at least 60 rushing attempts so far this season, there are 24 of them. Dead last in yards per rush, 2.8. Dead last in yards after first contact, 73. And dead last in rushing yards. So Ramondre Stevenson last year, the secret sauce was that not only was he a good runner, but he was catching the ball all the time.
Yep.
No one's catching the ball for the Patriots right now as they've scored 3 points over the past 2 weeks. And while it sounds like the Raiders might be the best defensive matchup the Patriots have faced all season, all of a sudden the Raiders have won 2 out of 5 games this year because of their defense. Mm-hmm. So this one's been one of the most agonizing, scenarios to watch unfold season. Because I would have thought, like, even if the Patriots offense was not good again, Ramondre Stevenson will still find a way. Ezekiel Elliott's playing a real role for them. Again, I have him as RB24, and that feels high for Ramondre.
Yeah, 8 touches last week. That was his fewest since in a full game, not one that he left injured. His fewest in a full game since week 12 of 2021. Not last year, 2021.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I will say this, if there's a saving grace here, he had 16 or more touches in each of the first 4 games. So at least that the volume has been there. I'm not sure if last week was a fluke. I did look at the play-by-play, and again, he took their last carry of the game. They were still mixing these guys until late in that game. That's a little bit concerning. It wasn't like he was pulled early. So definitely some concerns here. That's why I have him 20, but at least hope that he is still their number one. He still had the touches the first 4 weeks. Maybe he gets back on track, but I'm with you.
You're more hopeful than I am. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. Doesn't feel good. If this is one of those things where if you start Ramondre Stevenson, definitely just don't watch the game. Just start him and then check back.
Don't watch the Patriots That's good for your health to not watch.
Correct.
All right. Now it is time for AI generated fantasy insight built with IBM Watson. Today we are talking about some trade bait players rostered in more than 60% of leagues who have busted for 2 straight weeks. Field, this is the opposite side of that Adam Thielen conversation because we're talking about how the Panthers are always down, that negative game script, so he's always catching passes. Miles Sanders, on the other side of that, unfortunately, is this a guy that you think that we should be trading for that has more upside towards the second half of the season?
I do not believe so because I don't think this offense is going to get a whole lot better. As a matter of fact, this team could be tumbling towards the number one pick in the draft. Oh, wait, no, they're not.
Oh, shoot.
Because they traded that pick. How about that? if they end up trading the 9th overall pick, DJ Moore, and the number one overall pick in a draft with Caleb Williams, what a freaking haul that would be for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, gosh.
Plus, like, multiple seconds, too, yeah. right? I mean, it was everything.
And some seems like some owner, head coach.
Yeah, also building there, too. Uncomfortable right now between David Tepper and Frank Reich. But no, I just don't understand exactly how this gets a whole lot better. The offensive line has once again been a problem for Carolina in the running game. The offense looks, I don't know. Like, we were talking about the Patriots. I was going to say the Panthers offense has looked as discombobulated as any, but there are like four or five right now that certainly fall into that category. And while Sanders was getting a lot of target volume early in the season, I mean, it's not like those targets were turning into many big plays. So lack of big plays, lack of scoring opportunities, lack of yards per rush efficiency. It's a tough one right now. I would not be looking to trade for Miles Sanders.
Yep, usage continues to trend the wrong direction.
Yeah,
3.1 yards per carry. This is a guy that was like 5+ every year in Philadelphia. 3.4 yards per target. Both of those are beyond atrocious.
Yeah,
so terrible. It's been bad. Only 7 fewer snaps than Chuba Hubbard the last 2 weeks. I will say this past week, he handled 6 of the first 8 carries and then 1 of the final 8 when they were down by 20 points. So it gives you some hope that the workload will increase. But the week before, it was like a 2-headed backfield and they split touches throughout that entire game. So he's a tough guy to figure out right now. But at the end of the day, he is 28th in points per game out of 35 qualified running backs right now. Yikes. It has not been good. He is not a lineup lock. He's a borderline flex. If you're banking on, 15 touches at any running back, there could be some value, but I don't feel great about it.
And I don't feel great about trading him away either, because I'm trading him so low on value. At this point, I'm sort of holding on to him for when we get to those bye weeks, and I've at least got a low-end usable RB2 or flex play that I can have from
that
perspective.
Maybe, yeah. If
what could you trade him for, though? That's the question.
I don't know. If that player could start for you, I would do the trade.
Like, anybody other than Miles Sanders is sort of where you're at on
yes,
that.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, the Philly offense, right? Like, Miles Sanders leaves and goes down the tank, and, like, DeAndre Swift comes in and is having a career year. It's just like something else. What is it?
So this is, I said this before the season started, though. Like, Miles Sanders coming into the year had more yards before first contact over the last 3 years than anybody else because of that Philly offensive line. And we were hoping that he was going to get more pass catching usage here in Carolina, which he didn't get in Philly. And that really hasn't helped either.
You guys made me think of something that I saw this morning that just cracks me up. Is Jason Kelce does a weekly radio hit on one of the two big sports stations down in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, I think it was something to the effect of like, yeah, we're pissed off right now about our offensive problems and we're working our butt off to get them fixed. I'm like, the Eagles' offensive problem? Yes.
What problems?
So their red zone efficiency has been way down this year, right? I'm like, your offensive issues?
Right.
I'm like, do you watch any of these teams? The Panthers, the Patriots, the Giants. I don't know. I'm sure there are others that qualify in that same bucket, right? Like, go watch them and then revisit your problems. I promise you, your problems are champagne problems.
Totally fair, but when look, they're only, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's a disappointing season.
That's the Niners. They have reached.
I'm an Eagles fan. I watch the Niners and I'm not feeling great right now. Like, they do have to figure things out if they're going to compete with the San Francisco 49ers and get to the Super Bowl, or even the Lions, who are, they could certainly beat them right now. So
So that was AI generated insights brought to you by IBM Watson X. Thank you so much for that. We got a little bit of time here left in the show.
Can I ask one more question though?
Yeah,
we'll make the money that we are working with. We'll make it Stefania's salary, percentage wise of her salary. How much would you bet on the 49ers and the Eagles playing in the NFC Championship game as opposed to anybody else in the field, Lions included?
One of the two will, or they will face each other?
They're playing each other.
They will both play.
Yeah, we're using Stefania's size. It's a percentage of her salary.
Oh, man. 23%.
I would
say that's low.
That's just probability.
60 or 6-0?
For both of them teams together.
I mean, Mike, this is where your stupid computer calculator brain doesn't do any
that's
good.
That's way too high.
As a fan, it's like, these are the two best teams in the NFC. Of course it's going to be these two.
Really? With the Lions there too?
Well, I'm trying not to live in that whole like emotional state where I'm a Lions fan. I'm trying to answer it.
I think it's like 60% chance one of them gets there. Both of them, though, that's going to be tough.
And it's tough. Who's the biggest competitor not named the Lions? Seahawks, Buccaneers.
I'm not super afraid of the Bucs. Maybe Detroit, though. I mean, the defense is playing better.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they're just it just feels like another typical Cowboy season, right? Like, they are just, EPA, they look great. Like, at times, they're just cruising. They're crushing teams. And then they just, like, disappear. Yeah. It's like, and this is what happens in the playoffs every year. It's unreal.
Do you watch our morning shows from like the months of January through December?
Yeah, Stephen A. just laughing into the camera for so 20 minutes.
Good. That actually cracks me up.
It is. It's so funny. Good. Well, look, I'm from, you know, from the Philly area. I enjoy every second.
You got plenty of it.
Real talk. I have one last question for you, Mike.
Okay.
Do you know that there is a baseball game taking place tonight?
What?
Seriously.
No, I actually did. I watched like the clip of the Braves Phillies, the end of the game.
Oh,
I mean, the other night when they came back. I actually, of course, like being from that area, I have a lot of friends who were already talking smack when they were down like one nothing, and then they were down 4-0 in game two, and I was getting the text and seeing the post, and oh, here's the break, you know, making fun of the break, and then sure enough, 5-4, they won it.
So you're a Braves fan.
Well, I grew up. I grew up a Braves fan. Yeah, I don't really watch baseball now, and I'm fine with the Phillies just because I don't follow the sport and I love Philly. But yeah, I grew up a Braves fan. So
98 Braves. So they're playing tonight in Philly.
Okay.
Are you gonna watch? It's Wednesday.
Wednesday? Maybe. We have a little event. We're going to be celebrating our good friend Liz Lowe's birthday tonight and hanging out as a group. So maybe we'll put the game on in the
background.
Is that
what we told him? We're celebrating her birthday?
Yeah, I think that's like the pseudo reason.
Yeah, her birthday. Yeah, she's taking over for Mike. That's the reason.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's a retirement party, actually. It's what it is
for Mike,
We just haven't told him yet. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We will be back tomorrow. Field and I with Liz Loza sitting in this seat one more time before she heads back to L.A. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. We'll see you here on Thursday.
Go team.
Peace.
I think I'm just going to not leave this chair now. If I don't move,
stay there the whole time.
I have to keep the job.
You got to handcuff yourself to the chair.
I'm just staying in. It's mine, man.
That would be funny.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat,